seconds. It's currently 57 degrees here in Santa Cruz. Stay tuned now for hour number one of the Saturday special with none other than MZ.
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
That's all we do on this station is communicate. Am I wrong? Is that just that? Was that just to be funny?
It's just to be funny.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure. Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Now, why in the world would anybody listen to the Saturday special on such a beautiful day when they could be out doing anything else but? No, what am I saying? I own this radio. I don't want to be chasing the audience away. What got into me, Carol? Is there some poltergeist or something? I mean, that's an idiotic thing for me to say. Well, look, and the other thing is that you can enjoy KSCO while you're doing other things. Yeah, see? Anyhow.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Now, what's the topic today? Oh, this. Here, let's try this.
Summertime. Boy meets girl. They fall in love. Spend the summer together, then fall and winter. Finally, he goes down on bended knee and asks for her hand in marriage. She agrees. 18 months later, they have a beautiful white wedding, and a year later begin a family, thereby starting the nuclear family. Maybe 20 years ago, but things have changed and are changing even faster. First Ontario and now British Columbia in Canada are accepting gay marriage. And with the recent Supreme Court ruling, can the United States be far behind? Join us this Saturday on the Saturday special with your host MZ from 10 a.m. to noon, with a spokesperson for the Family Research Council, decidedly against the concept, and Marriage Equality California, decidedly in favor. That's this Saturday on the Saturday special from 10 a.m. to noon with MZ on your first it was Adam and Eve and now it's Adam and Steve radio stations, AM 1080 and 1340. KSCO.
Now that sounds like an interesting topic for the next 2 hours. Our phone numbers for your participation are 479-1080 or 477-1340. The area code is 831. If you live outside the 831 area, you're going to have to dial us up if you want to participate in this two-hour, two-way, or three-way, or actually maybe even a four-way interactive talk radio program on AM 1080 KSCO. It's the Saturday special. My name is MZ, and we're going to be talking about gay marriage. Should this happen or should it not happen? And for the first hour, we're going to have as a special guest the Executive Director of Marriage Equality for California. That's Molly McKay. And Molly, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Well, we would love to welcome you to KSCO. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
So where are you calling from?
I am calling from my home in Oakland.
Oh, okay. Oh, I just drove by there about an hour and a half ago. So, you are, tell us about your group. Did I get that right? Marriage Equality for California?
That's right. We're called Marriage Equality California, and
okay,
we are a grassroots organization solely devoted to obtaining the right to legally marry for same-sex couples.
Okay. I don't know how many people would be against the legalization of that. Just about everybody I know, though, has a problem with calling it marriage. Maybe if someone would invent another word for that. How do you feel about that? Or do you feel that it, well, I'll just let you give us your opinion here.
Well, I think that marriage is a really powerful legal and social institution, and it's something that protects and supports intimate family relationships. My question is, you know, why do we need another name for gay people's relationship when all we want is just access to what everybody else has, which is marriage? I think that marriage as a term is really important because it's a recognized celebration of commitment, and it has definitely powerful legal consequences, but it also has important cultural consequences. For example, in my own life, My wife and I have been married for 4 or 5 years. We've been together for 7 years. And it wasn't until after we had a wedding ceremony that my extended family, my grandfather and aunts and uncles and even coworkers, really understood how important Davina was to me and what kind of a commitment that I was making to her. We don't really, you know, domestic partnership really wasn't even a word until 1999 in the state of California. And it just, it's a different, why have two different words for the same thing? Separate but unequal.
How about separate but equal?
Well, my question is, why separate?
I think we'll get a lot of participation from the audience on that particular topic here. I'm just the moderator here. I guess I could start the ball rolling by saying if marriage has always meant one thing, and I'm sorry I don't have a dictionary in front of me, but I've always believed that it meant the legal and spiritual union of a man and a woman. I mean, that's what I think, that's what I believe the definition of marriage is. So if you want to change that definition...
Well, I think that marriage has, as an institution, changed over time. Less than 100 years ago, a woman lost her own legal identity when she married. And then less than 50 years ago, interracial marriages were banned by some state governments. So, you know, again, the idea that marriage is some sort of a monolithic thing that's meant the same thing over time, it really hasn't. It has changed over time.
And actually, so, you know, well, you make a good point. So the word gay comes to mind. I'm 51 years old. When I was growing up, gay did not mean anything like what it means
right today.
So definitions do tend to change by the culture.
That's right.
And that's just what happened. Now, let's talk about your wife, Davina. You say your wife is Davina?
Yes.
Okay, why do you call her your wife? Or what does she call you? Are you her husband?
No, I'm her wife, too.
Oh.
We are spouses.
Why don't you change the definition of that name, of that word, wife?
Well, that seems to me the word that most accurately describes my life partner that I'm in a committed long-term relationship with, that
wife
I just got married to.
Always unquestionably means female gender, I guess, right? Or,
well, I mean, I guess, you know, we'll see as things change. I don't think anything's unquestionably anymore, but as it stands right now, that's a term that seems that people understand who that means to me immediately. When I say she's my wife, my coworkers understand who I'm talking about. It's not my roommate. It's not a friend. It's not a girlfriend. It's a lifelong committed partner. And I'm actually a lawyer, and so when I say my partner, that to me in my work world, that means my boss. And so I guess wife also could mean boss, but in a different context.
It certainly does with most people I know.
Yeah.
Most guys I know have bosses, and they are indeed their wives. So anyhow, yeah. So tell us, is it rude to ask how old you are?
I am 32.
Oh. Okay, and you have been in this relationship, I think you said, 7 years total,
right.
And five of which you have been married?
Right.
Now, you're calling from Oakland, so that means you're in the state of California.
That's right.
Okay. Now, what is the legal status of gay marriages in California?
Well, I mean, the thing, and it's, you know...
Are you illegally married, I guess is what I'm asking?
Well,
you?
You know, we have not gone to Canada yet, so the answer to that at this point would be no. We're not legally married. We are spiritually married. We are married in the eyes, in my opinion, of God and of my family, and of my coworkers and of her family. But we are not legally married, because the state does not allow us to marry. So we've got the next best thing, which is we are registered domestic partners.
Do you own property together for, you know, God forbid if one of you were to pass on, do you own real estate together that would be very difficult for the other person?
We both own the home, we both own our cars and our three cats, and yes, it's a challenge, although luckily what just happened last Thursday was that the Board of Equalization made a rule that said that before Thursday, if one or the other, if Davina died or if I died, they would reassess the house, and Davina would have to pay for my 50% part of the house immediately on my estate taxes. And it doesn't impact, you know, people our age. We only bought the house 2 or 3 years ago. But what happens when people are 80 or 90 years old is they buy a house together.
Yeah.
Say they've been together for 50 years and they bought the house at $30,000. It's now worth $300,000.
Yeah.
50% of that coming due as an estate tax has resulted in elderly people literally losing their life home. Like, not only did they just lose their partner, but they lose their home to taxes. And then you cannot pay for the bills. Whereas married couple, what happens is that the estate tax is deferred until after the surviving partner dies, and then it all becomes due on both.
So you're looking for that same benefit to be extended to gay unions,
right? To long-term same-sex couples.
Well, I just don't. My feeling is that I don't have any problem with any of that. I mean, people who love each other, regardless of gender, should not be discriminated against by the government. I have a problem with the term. I think I don't know what the problem is. Just coming up with a new name, and that would solve the problem, I think. Let's go to our first caller, Terry in Capitola. By the way, if you want to join in this conversation, anybody listening to KSCO AM 1080, the Saturday special with MZ and Molly McKay, give us a call at 479. We got lines open, 479-1080 or 477-1340. We got a fax line at 475-2967. But what in the world is Terry calling about? Terry, you're on the air.
Michael, I haven't called in a couple of years.
Oh, well, welcome back, Terry.
Yeah, I used to be a fairly regular caller. I was on Eric Schecht's show once about this very subject.
You know, oh, okay.
And all these arguments in favor of gay marriage, really not an argument in favor of gay marriage, they're an argument against heterosexual marriage. What it essentially says is that the government needs to pay attention to the private consensual behavior of two adults and what happens in their home. And if the sole purpose of marriage is to put the society's blessing on the loving relationship of two human beings, you might start scratching your head and say, is that really something government should be doing? I mean, arguably. And if that's the sum total of what marriage is the government's recognition of the private consensual behavior of two human beings, whether they have the same sex or of opposite sex, whether it's 10 people sharing a house together who like each other, whether it's whatever, it takes government into a very, very strange role, and it kind of ignores the long history of marriage. Marriage has been around for probably 5,000-10,000 years. We have evidence amongst the Egyptians, the Babylonians, Stone Age peoples of Borneo, the Amazon, Aborigines married. When such a universal institution grows up worldwide over the pretty much most of the detectable human history, you have to scratch your head and wonder why. Is it because of right of inheritance or because of tax law? Hardly. Most of the things didn't exist in that period of time. The reason why is very, very simple, and this is very politically incorrect to say, but I'll say it. If two people of the opposite sex cohabitate for any reasonable period of time, there's a high likelihood that a child will result. Society does have an interest in the welfare of children. They are minors. They are not consenting adults. And whether or not they're well-raised, whether they get the resources of both parents to ensure that they're well-raised, because all things being equal, a child with the resources of two parents to raise them does hugely better than a child with one parent. I mean, the recent statistics clearly show that the single biggest predictor of childhood poverty is being in a single-parent family. And intact biological parent families are always thrive better than all other forms of marriage, which is not to say that adoptive parents aren't good, which is not to say that single-parent families sometimes do well, but just statistically and as an average, childhood welfare is directly tied to the marital status of their parents. This is a societal interest. When we go far afield here, we start talking about saying marriage isn't about that. Marriage is about inheritance rights. It's about the ability to own homes together. It's about ability to visit in hospitals. We take it far afield. I mean, I agree with you, Michael, by the way. If we want to change the law in such a way as to ensure that whoever wants to visit you in the hospital is allowed to, contract law deals with inheritance pretty well. I mean, this lady, I think, is a lawyer. So clearly we know that there's ways to write, you know, civil contracts that allow people to inherit property. I'm not artful in the law, so I don't know what the rights of survivorship are in tenants in common versus the other forms of real estate, you know, partnerships you can get into. But perhaps there's a way to get around the tax consequences of a partner in a real estate partnership dying, that the survivor you know, all their share goes to them. And I'd say that's regardless of whether they're loving people or not. That could just be business partners. They could set up a partnership like that. I think it should be irrespective of the private, consensual sexual behavior of people, because I think society and government simply doesn't have any interest in that. That's kind of a long spiel. I'd like to discuss it further. But I
yeah, it is a long spiel, but there was a lot of substance there. Wow, where do we go from here? Obviously, Molly, you heard all that, right?
I did.
Do you have any response that's just burning to get out of you here, or should we
well,
go on and ask some other questions?
You know, the first thing I just want to acknowledge is I appreciate the fact that Terry does recognize the importance of gay and lesbian people's rights to visit each other in the hospital, and I appreciate the fact that he recognizes that, he's recognizing our humanhood, which is sometimes more than we can get sometimes from the other side. And so, you know, I do acknowledge and appreciate that, but I think, you know, there's a number of points that I would want to respond back in. And I maybe just starting with his first point, which was his concern that that permitting same-sex couples to marry would undermine marriage. And you know, it's my belief that, you know, it's each individual in the couple relationship, their responsibility to respect their own marriage through love, fidelity, and trust every day. And the only person who can really undermine your marriage is you and your spouse, and that's it. You know, it's a contract between two people, and you can choose to respect the rules or not. But, you know, gay people have entered into the same type of long-term, committed, loving relationship that is different than any other relationship. We're talking about a primary loving relationship. And we have been respecting our own marriages for years without the protections from the government. And really, when he's talking about, you know, trying to attack private consensual behavior, well, it's actually not private consensual behavior that we're trying to get involved with. It's the 1,049 rights that come with marriage. And a lot of these rights you can't get through contracts. And especially as I'm sure everybody is aware, as it results with taxes, we just don't have the ability to contract around the way in which gay and lesbian people are discriminated against, because we have to pay more taxes at every turn because we can't marry. And even if you can contract for some of the things like making a medical decision and getting into the hospital, I mean, you never know when those kind of things are going to need to happen. I mean, you can be out hiking in Utah and your partner falls off the cliff. And, you know, that unless you have all your papers on you while you were hiking, you're going to be treated like a legal stranger. Whereas if you were permitted to be recognized as their legal spouse, there wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, but still you don't really address my central point, which is that all this is well and good. But why does the government involve itself in what happens between two people? I mean, what's the important government interest? Now, I understand that a whole bunch of laws have grown up around marriage. You can ask whether or not those are valid or not. I think part of
that's another topic for another program, I think, Terry, don't you think?
Couldn't agree. I couldn't agree more. But my point is that marriage, in a sense, is not something society does for a couple. It's something that society does to a couple, historically anyhow. It says, look, damn it, if you're going to cohabitate together and likely produce children, we expect you to stick together and make it very, very hard to get out. Now, recently, it's gotten, the last few decades, it's gotten very easy to get out of a marriage. I think you have to turn around three times and say, I divorced you, and that's about all the requirements for getting out of it. But still, what you haven't addressed is that the one absolute difference between heterosexual marriage and all other forms of marriage is that heterosexuals, not all, I understand that not everybody who gets married has children, but still, the high likelihood and the predominant likelihood is that heterosexuals will produce children, and that is a societal interest, whereas homosexual couples never, let me repeat, never, ever, ever produce children. Now, they sometimes do through heterosexual forms, artificial insemination, which is a heterosexual form, through adopting the children of a former heterosexual marriage that the homosexual is involved in. But still, as a biological fact, homosexual unions never produce children, and heterosexual unions very, very frequently do. And that's the big difference, and the thing that nobody ever really addresses in this entire debate is that is why the form exists. And absent that reality, and it's a biological reality, it ain't going to change in the near future. Who knows where biological science will take us with cloning, et cetera. But at this point in time, there has never been a homosexual union ever produced a child, and children, I believe, are the core issue of the 5 to 10,000 year history of marriage on this planet and its usefulness to society.
Well, I think, Terry, if you take a look at the newest information that we got from the census, which is 2000 data, and analyze, taking a look at the average California household headed by same-sex couples, we are very, very similarly situated to heterosexual households as it relates to children.
Not biological children. Wrong. Incorrect.
But again, more and more gay and lesbian couples are having or adopting children together. I mean, the alternative insemination. I mean, I have tons and tons of friends that are having children, both gay fathers and lesbian moms that are having children together.
It's a heterosexual act. Biologically, it is heterosexuality.
Well, I mean, a lot of heterosexual couples
will never produce.
I think Terry is correct on this point.
Will never produce a child with the gametes of both the male and the female ever until biological science goes a whole lot further than it is right now.
We have straight couple friends that are infertile and are going through a lot of the same issues.
Acknowledge that sometimes, for example, the mere fact society has laws on murder and the taking of lives. But there's lots of exceptions to it. There's justifiable homicide, there's self-defense, there's accidents happen in which people get killed. And so just merely the fact that we have a body of laws that address the taking of lives, that there's exceptions to it when we don't apply murder penalties to it, doesn't mean that it invalidates the idea of murder laws. All sorts of laws have exceptions to them that were intended to regulate one particular kind of behavior, and they don't apply in certain fringe elements of that behavior. It doesn't make them invalid to society. So
Terry, we got to move on. But before we leave, I want you to tell me what your solution to this problem is, if you have one.
My solution to the problem is I think that if they want to make a blanket significant other rights law, where you can go in, you can sign up and say, this is my significant other, for whatever reasons. It can be heterosexuals, too. And they say that and for these purposes, all rights of inheritance, tax laws, et cetera, obtain to those people. That would be fine with me. But I think that quite the contrary. If this goes through, there's no question about it. Marriage has been eroding over the last number of decades, and it is a huge problem for the welfare of children in this society. And it will get worse if this law passes, because it's the last nail in the coffin that says children are now finally, as a matter of law, absolutely irrelevant to the concept.
Terry, you're very articulate, but please answer my question. What's your solution? Give it to me in 10 minutes.
The solution is to take care of the contractual problems of homosexuals through maybe a revised contract law, broaden contract law, and then other than that, to just keep marriage exactly the same. There needs to be no change other than the fact that I think that perhaps we should say that divorce when there's children involved should be somewhat more difficult and arduous to get through than divorce when there's no children involved.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your call to the KSCO Saturday Special. That was Terry and Capitola. We welcome him back to KSCO. He used to be a caller, apparently. 29 minutes past 10 a.m. It's the AM 1080 Saturday Special. My name is MZ. The topic today is gay marriages, yay or nay. And we'd like to hear from you. We have open lines at 477-1340 and one open line at 479-1080. Let me read this brilliant letter to the editor. I believe this appeared in a local newspaper recently to the editors. One of the simplest definitions of marriage is the union, in quotes, between a man and a woman. In the world of electricity, there is union between a male and a female plug. It is necessary to have a union between the male and female plugs to enable power to run lights and machines, etc. Two plugs, either male or female, will not work. A union is not possible between same-sex people, only a partnership. Marriage is a union between a male and a female, which produces power for our civilization. Can't the gays understand the meaning of the words? They do not have a union through which power can flow and benefit society, only a partnership for which they want benefits for themselves. The life force flows through the union of a man and the woman. And that's signed Asa Lake, none other than our own Asa, who calls this radio station quite frequently and whom I understand is online too. Asa.
I thank you for reading my letter.
I do think it's brilliant and says a lot. Now, what are you saying that they should not? Are you basically saying what I said earlier
I'm basically agreeing with you. What I am saying is there is in, is there is nothing. I don't know what legal things are bothering her, but I would take care of those legal things legally.
Well, ask her. She's on the line with us. This is here, Molly.
Well,
this
I,
is Molly.
I've
this
heard
is
her. I've heard her say all that stuff. I mean, I understand. But the point is, take care of the legal things legally. Marriage is a union between a man and a woman. Do not try to live a lie.
Here's the concern. I mean, what happens is we have gay and lesbians, lots and lots of gay and lesbians have children. And what happens is
it has nothing to do with
children.
It's not a union.
But see, here's the situation, is the children are at risk because their parents can't marry. From child custody to child support obligations, community property, all those things gay and lesbians can't contract with because it's prevented by state law.
Yeah, well, you can if you're creative. Your lawyers can do everything else.
Well, I appreciate, you know, the sentiment that lawyers can do everything, but actually we can't. The government prevents us
from
doing a lot
of this. You cannot form a union, period. You cannot have a marriage. Something else.
No,
would
Asa,
you
calm down. You can say the same thing without getting your blood pressure up.
Thank you.
I mean,
Oswald says yes. I'm sorry.
I mean, I guess the union thing, everybody gets really caught up in, you know, who's doing what in their bedrooms. And I think the bottom line is marriage is beyond what a sex act. I mean,
marriage
is a commitment.
Marriage is a union between a man and a woman.
And it's also...
Yeah.
But
Oswald
not in Canada.
Says let
I mean,
talk.
And not in Netherlands and not in a lot of other countries that are allowing same-sex couples to marry today. I mean, it's not like this isn't happening elsewhere in the world. I mean, it is happening elsewhere in the world. And gay and lesbian people are living together in a union, in a marriage that of everything except the legal terms, raising children, and the children are at risk, and the partners are at risk because we can't have access to things like child custody and community property. I mean, a lot of this, what will happen is if gay and lesbian people are permitted to marry, there's a lot of responsibilities that come with that as well, that right now, you know, gosh, I've seen a lot of times happen when a gay couple breaks up, it's not always fair. I mean, think if straight people didn't have access to divorce laws. You know, do you think that everything would get divided up equally and fairly? I think not. And so what we're really looking for is just access to the same type of laws and protections and responsibilities that everybody else has. In fact, there's a bill called AB 205 right now that it's moving through, it's passed the assembly, it's on its way through the Senate, and this will give gay and lesbian registered domestic partners many of the same state rights that come to married couples. And that's, I think, going to be a positive change, but at the same time, if you move out of state, you know, here we go from you think of the United States as one country, and yet, you know, if I move to Nevada, one step, I lose all of my rights and protections. It just seems ridiculous that we just shouldn't be able to have the same rights to travel as everybody else.
Now you can talk, Asa.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that it simply has to be a squiggly wump. I don't care what she calls it. They can have whatever they want to call it. It's just simply not marriage. And they can have a squiggly lump nationally. I don't care if they call it a squiggly lump nationally. But it is not marriage. Marriage is a union between a man and a woman.
It's a little hard to say, but I mean, Molly, if they're a different name besides squiggly lump, you know, you could say that Molly and Davina are squiggly umped.
I mean, just domestic partners. I mean, that's what she's talking about. And Asa, I hope that you will get behind AB 205 then, because what it would do is really what you're talking about, because it's, I mean, a lot of the opponents to AB 205 are saying that it's gay marriage. It's not gay marriage. I mean, it's not marriage at all. It's just permitting.
Oh, it doesn't use that word in there?
It does not. It's
what's the problem
partners.
Then?
Well, that's okay. I don't object to any of the squiggly
on. Boy, is it important that we're doing this program then? Because
we can at least agree on that, so that's good.
But I just simply I object to the falseness of calling it marriage.
Well, I think if Molly would have said that, if Molly would have told us that at the beginning, it would have been better. Although then there would probably be no reason to argue, and we wouldn't have had that. We'd have to cut the program off at the beginning instead of when we only have an hour and 25 minutes. Because as I see it, there's no reason to continue this program.
Well, Michael, actually, here's the thing. We're taking it to the next level. I mean, I am very supportive.
Anyway,
agree AB 205 should pass. Registered domestic partners in California should be able to protect their family. So
as long as it's
great.
Not called marriage, right?
Right, and it's
Asa?
Not it, in that
as long
at this
as it's
point,
not called marriage.
It's not called marriage.
Well,
okay,
that's cool. So
okay.
Okay, no
that's
problem.
That's cool.
See, now, Asa, you got your blood pressure up for nothing.
Okay.
And
bye bye.
But I do say, and again, you know, what's most interesting actually in this debate is that there is a major generational divide, more than a religious divide, more than anything else. There's a generational divide on the issue about marriage or calling it squigglywump.
Okay.
I mean, and it's interesting, and I think to some extent we are, you know, we're shaped by the times in which we are raised, because the polls are showing that adults between 18 and 39 years of age, and this was a nationwide survey, 62% supported legalizing same-sex marriage rights, while 33% opposed. And if you looked at
But they should call it squiggly lump rights.
More people were opposing than in favor. And so
yeah.
It really shows a generational gap.
Right. Okay, we are going to take a break before we go to our next caller, Brownie and Aptos and Ken on a cell phone. And
Good, people are calling
in.
Oh,
people are extremely upset.
I hope not.
Well, they usually don't cause a call a talk radio program unless they're extremely upset. But we do have a Russian guy who's a talk host on this radio station. His name is Cyril Vitomsky, and he is our progressive and multicultural ambassador of the New World Order. Now, he did not call. He did not call to go on the air, but he did call and wants to ask if we would strip the institution of marriage of all material benefits such as tax breaks, inheritance, deductions, etc., would they still fight for this right? Well, wait a minute. Well, you want to answer that question? I mean,
well,
you're the they in this.
I mean,
context.
You know, I feel like I was raised as a full citizen of the United States, and I have to say, since when I was a little girl, I always wanted to grow up and marry the person of my dreams, and I've done that. And so, I mean,
was the person of your dreams when you were a little girl a man at some time, or always?
Well,
the person
I mean,
of your
you
dreams
know,
you knew from the beginning would be a same-sex person?
You know, I'll answer that question, you know, from my own personal experience. I know it's different for other people. I mean, I just didn't know, you know, it wasn't until I was 19 years old that I came out. So, I mean, I guess, you know, it wasn't that much of a leap for me.
Did you try the other way?
Yeah, I've dated men before. I have, I love men. I have, you know, some of my favorite people are men.
So wait a minute, my dad.
I'm totally close with him.
Wait a minute. Is it possible that you're not homosexual? Then you might be one of these bisexual people. You know, how we have the best of all worlds.
Well, I'm a person that wants to commit to one person for the rest of my life, and I have found her. And
but
she
you
is
have,
the
but
best
you have,
thing that
okay,
ever happened.
Okay, this is
to me.
I've never asked such a personal question of a guest on the radio before. But have you had heterosexual sex?
Yes.
Did you like it?
It was okay. Yeah.
But you like this other one better?
Much better. I mean, the thing is...
Is it because of the person, or is it because of
the
or is it because of the gender? In other words, God forbid, if something happened to her, would you want to find another her?
You know what?
Or would you rather, or could you be possibly just as happy finding another him?
You know, I can't... I really... It almost makes me emotional to think about it. I love Davina so much. She is my life partner. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have Davina. I mean,
okay.
You know, she is absolutely the person that makes me a better person. I mean, I am so lucky and I am so blessed that I found her. And
it sounds to me like it could have been a man. It could have been a male that you found, but you happen to have found a woman.
Well, I mean, I know there's the Kinsey scale, and they say some people are, you know, more to one way than the other, and there's some people that are absolutely heterosexual and would never consider any alternative, and then there's also people who feel that they're homosexual and they'd never consider alternative, and I think a lot of us fall into that gray area. I mean, I was really, you know, what I look for in a life partner is that person a good person? Is that person going to, you know, love me and support me and take care of me and challenge me when I'm being not my full personhood? I mean, in fact, Davina has brought me closer to spirituality and to God than I'd ever been in my entire life.
Are we going to get to talk to Davina while you're... Is she anywhere around?
No, in fact, I was kind of thinking of this. She's actually out at a fair handing out Freedom to Marry stickers. And
does she have a cell phone?
Yeah, she does.
Well, give it to me off the air. Maybe we can connect up with her.
Okay.
You can call her during the break. Now, why don't you do that and give her the phone number and ask her to call in? Just for a little bit. Just for a little bit.
Just to prove she exists.
No, I believe she exists. But I think it would be a great addition to the program. The music, which you can't hear, indicates that it's high time for a commercial break. here on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. And so we're going to be doing that here and coming back in a few minutes. So stay with us. There's a lot more ahead on the Saturday special with MZ and Molly McKay. We're talking about gay marriages. So see you in a bit.
We can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance,
dance. Imagine a beautiful green lawn without mowing, watering, or weeding. Well, imagine no more. Hello, I'm Ray Tate from the Waterless Lawn Company in Santa Cruz, your Astro Lawn dealer for the Central Coast. Astro Lawn from the Waterless Lawn Company will give you 15 to 20 trouble-free years of green lawn for your home or business. You'll save money, time, and your property will look great. I guarantee it.
The first 15 callers receive $500 off installations of 600 square feet. Call 866-987-5377. 866-987-5377.
I'm Dr. Guy Peabody. Picture this in your mind. You're calmly lying down, your eyes are softly closed, your head is cradled on a pillow, a warm comforter is pulled up to your chin. You're oblivious to the passing time, drifting and dreaming peacefully. Are you at home asleep? No. You're completing your dental care while sedated. How is this possible? Well, sedation's a lot like sleep in that hours can pass and it feels like seconds. By simply taking a safe pill medication, years worth of dental problems can be solved in one appointment. You'll feel like you slept through your dental visit, remembering little to nothing about it. We call it sedation dentistry. Our patients from San Francisco through Monterey call it a miracle.
Find Dr. Guy Peabody's sedation dentistry in the Santa Cruz Yellow Pages and visit him on the web at www.drpeabody.com. Call Dr. Guy Peabody for sedation dentistry at 457-0343, and you too can wake up to a beautiful smile.
Homeowners, there's a quick and sensible solution to problems like delinquent payments, foreclosure, bankruptcy, job loss, or relocation. Sensible Home Solutions will help by taking over your payments and paying you cash for the full market value of your home. Solve your housing problem today with a fast, considerate, and sensitive solution from Sensible Home Solutions. Call 800-793-6332. Remember, Sensible Home Solutions buys houses for cash. Call 1-800-793-6332.
Buying a house should be one of the happiest times of your life, but the time and paperwork can make the process a major source of stress, not to mention worrying about whether you got a good deal on your loan. Baton Mortgage Services has prepared a study of what a borrower needs to know to ensure a fair deal on their loan and are presenting a free one-hour intensive consumer seminar explaining the material. In 1 hour, you'll learn how to ensure a smooth closing, select a competent loan officer, and independently verify whether you're getting a fair deal. We give you the take-home reference materials to ensure that you retain and can use all of the information from this course on loan officer self-defense. Attendees will receive a hard copy version of the presentation, including the tools, methods, and guidelines taught, along with examples and supplemental information. Attend this free course at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, July 15th at Cabrillo College. You must RSVP to ensure your space and class materials. To RSVP, go to www.homeloanwindow.com. That's www.homeloanwindow.com or call 866-515-4421. That's 866-515-4421.
Mortgage rates have fallen so far and so fast that you can save big money even if you've refinanced within the past 6 months. I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland, and it's true. Mortgage interest rates have fallen so far and so fast in the past few months that you can save tens of thousands even if you've already refinanced. And here's the kicker. Pacific Inland will refinance you at no cost. Don't miss out on this historic opportunity to save money. Some restrictions may apply, so call Pacific Inland at 475-2600. Pacific Inland, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server co-location and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and cold fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet?
Erin, would you come in and take a letter, please?
Okay, Rosemary, what's the project?
To whom it may concern. Are you punctual?
Check.
Are you responsible?
Check.
Are you interested in radio?
Yes. Sorry. Check.
Do you have a sense of humor?
You know I have a sense of humor. I mean, check.
Well, that's the information. Now we need people to apply.
Apply for what?
Well, a position here as a board op.
But I'm already a board op.
Check.
So, shall I have the interested parties call you?
Yes, please. Check.
At 475-1080?
Check.
That's 475-1080.
Check. It's like I know how to dictate a letter.
This is a mob world. This is the mob world.
Occasionally I comment on commercials here that we have that we play on KSCO AM 1080, and I want to comment on two commercials. The Dr. Guy Peabody commercial was such a soothing commercial. I almost felt like I was going to sleep through the rest of the Saturday special. So the guy's got to be good. You might want to give Dr. Peabody a phone call. The other commercial I want to comment on is the Don Fredrickson owner of GotNet commercial. Now, all that stuff might sound like a bunch of gobbledygook to you, because you probably don't know what he means by cold fusion and all that stuff. So I'm gonna cut through all that and just tell you that got.net is your locally owned and operated internet service provider and good friend of KSCO's. So if you want great internet service, if you have some sort of a complicated solution, GotNet is a place to go. And if you have a real simple solution, got.net is the place to go also. There, I've commented on two of our commercials. All right, 13 minutes before 11 a.m., the Saturday special, AM 1080 KSCO. Your host, MZ, your guest, Molly McKay, the subject, gay marriages, yay or nay. Our next caller will be a man who has been very patient on his cell phone for a long time. That would be Ken on a cell phone. Where are you, Ken?
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, good. Where are you?
Right now I'm in Salinas.
Oh, well, welcome to KSCO, and let's bring Molly McKay back on the line. You there, Molly?
I'm here.
All right. What do you say? What do you say, Ken, about gay unions? Well, legalized, you know. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, first off, I want to say I'm against gay marriages, but I got a couple questions. I'm against it, but it won't bother me if they're partners. But my question is, in a heterosexual marriage and there is a divorce, who gets the children and who pays the child support?
The woman and the man in that regard, in that order, right.
Yeah. Who would get the, for Molly being a lawyer, who normally gets the children?
Well, again, what the judge is supposed to look at is what's in the best interest of the children.
Right.
So it depends on, you know, you just take a look at who has the time, who makes money. I mean, it's very, very similar to how the judge looks at the case now, because, you know, now as it stands, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean in a heterosexual divorce that the kids are always going to go with mom and dad's always going to pay child support. I mean,
but sometimes you're right. That's not always the case, but normally, where do the children go?
Honestly, that's a moving target.
Isn't it 99% to mama?
I don't think so.
Really?
I really don't think so anymore. It's changing. We have a lot more dads that are saying, you know, I want to keep the kids, or I want to have a joint custody arrangement because I'm going to stay in their lives and I don't want to just pay. You know?
Yeah. Well, normally the mother gets the children. Correct.
She won't say that.
Anyhow, go ahead and make your point, Ken.
Okay. And in a gay marriage, who would get, between two women, who would get the child?
Which woman
would get the child?
The judge
would look at that. Now, how is he going to look at that? Because a lot of the judges would say, well, they need the mother upbringing.
Well, I think what they'd actually take a look at is who can best care for the child. a lot of people are working out joint arrangements because, you know, both legal parents want to stay involved with their child's life. Just because they're breaking up with their partner doesn't mean they don't want to stay in touch with their children. And so I think that the courts have been better about making equitable arrangements based upon each couple's, you know, unique situation. And if both couples both want to stay involved, then why not work out a joint arrangement? You know, ultimately, we want, when those in divorces and you have children, you want to look at what is in the best interests of the kids. What's, you know, what's best for them?
Thanks for calling the KSCO Saturday Special, Ken, on a cell phone. Now we have none other than Davina herself, who is Molly's partner. Davina, thanks for taking the time to call into the Saturday Special. I thought it would be nice to have you on for a little bit.
Sure, my pleasure.
It's You're in San Francisco now, or?
Yes, I'm actually in Berkeley.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah, so you and Molly have been together for 7 years, I guess, and more legally as 5 years, but I guess that's what I don't understand.
Yeah, we've been together longer than there has been any sort of legal privileges, and right now there are only 15 rights. When we first got together, there weren't any. And with heterosexual marriages, there are 1,049 federal rights and about 300 state rights. So it's been a weird position, and it is now still to be in a strange position to be justifying our relationship and trying to explain it to people when it's really no different. I think the genders may be different, but the relationship isn't different than any other marriage. You know, there's good times, there's bad times.
Yeah, the consensus, you haven't heard the program, but the consensus is, I don't think anybody's against allowing two people of the same gender who want to have the same legal benefits, perks, privileges, whatever you want to call them, as heterosexual marriages. Just call it something else. And Davina, your wife, has said, why call it something else? Why reinvent the wheel? We've already got it, and just extend it to us.
Yeah, why have separate drinking fountains for black people? Why have separate churches and lunch counters? I mean,
well, but not, of course, everyone would agree with that, I think. But what about a separate word?
Well, I don't think everybody would agree with that. I think that it's very similar. It's the experience that was going on in the 60s that we tolerated, that white people tolerated, or many white people tolerated, a difference between treatment of blacks and whites that we're doing with gays and lesbians now. And we're trying to sort of pat ourselves on the back for being semi-progressive when it's really not okay. It's unequal treatment. And, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, we did this to interracial couples in the 60s as well. And, you know, why couldn't they just, you know, why couldn't white women just be with white men or black women with black men? And
interesting perspective. There's someone named Mitzi all the way from Menlo Park who's been waiting for quite a while. Let's see if we can bring Mitzi in on the phone call on KSCO AM 1080. Mitzi, are you there?
Yes. I don't see why there is the big hassle over using the term marriage. I mean, I think that regardless of the rights and all of the other things, marriage is about commitment and love, commitment to one person for your companion for life, and taking on the responsibility of caring for that person. And all of the other rights and all of the other things that go along with that are important, but they're not the main issue. And when people get married, they don't get married because they're going to get the benefits necessarily, but it's because they're making a public statement about their relationship, and they want that public statement to be understood and recognized by other people. So I don't see why all of these people are worried about calling it something else.
Well, but if you do call it something else and you get what you want, otherwise, why don't you be cool? I mean, it's sort of like an impasse, you
because
know?
Because you don't get it, because people don't understand the relationship. My son has been in a relationship for 16 years, and people don't understand that as a marriage. It is a marriage. It's got all of the same commitment and all of the same caring for one another, all of the same taking on a responsibility for one another.
I am presuming, perhaps incorrectly, that you are heterosexual because
yes.
you have a son.
Yes.
But you are probably a very understanding heterosexual who might have been shocked when your son came out of the closet to you. But you're obviously comfortable with it now because...
Well, yeah, I've been married 49 years. I was never upset by somebody else getting married. By the nature of their marriage, and I don't see why gay people's marriages would undermine marriage. I mean, what undermines marriage is people getting divorced and not not people, other people getting married.
Right, and you are in Menlo Park?
Yes.
Are you a regular listener to KSCO, or did you happen to be just scanning the dial?
Well, I know that you were going to be talking about gay marriage today, and I feel very strongly about it.
I see. So can you pick us up okay where you are?
Faintly, yes.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, to me, calling it something else doesn't make any sense. Because that means it is something else. When you call something else, it is something else. When you call it marriage, it's marriage, and that's what it is.
Someone needs to call in with the definition for us, because I guess we went over that also, because definitions can be changed too. Yeah.
Well, and the definition that the Canadians had of that they've had in this decision of two people making a lifelong commitment to one another, that's marriage. And so all of these other folks who are saying, well, marriage is, we just don't want to call it marriage, why not?
All right. Well, something tells me neither Molly nor Davina would take issue with you on this at all.
No, I don't think they'd take issue, but other callers have.
Right.
And nobody is speaking to the fact that we don't make couples take a pledge to have children when they get married.
Okay.
We don't make couples take a pledge that they will never get divorced.
Maybe Brownie and Aptos has some. Let's see if we can bring in. Actually, no, I can't bring any more people in on this conversation, unfortunately, than we already
have.
Well, it's just a different perspective. I appreciate your call, Mitzi, and thanks very much for waiting. Okay, that was Mitzi in Menlo Park. Now let's go to Brownie and Aptos. Let's see, line three. Apparently, Brownie has been with her partner for 30 years, not married. Okay, Brownie, so what's the point here?
The point is that I'm 75 years old, my partner is 58, and we've been together 33 years. To show people that lesbians or gay men can be together and have one partner. And since we've been together so long, why can't we get married? I would like for us to be able to file our taxes together. We've gone to a lawyer, and we have all the other things taken care of, what that ASA woman said that we should do, and we did it, but we can't pay our taxes together. We're on each other's bank account and all, but we can't get married.
Would you have a problem with calling it something other than married?
Yes, yes. And I have a gay couple that have been together for about 25 years, and the one partner does not want to get married. She says, why should I get into an institution where 50% of the marriages, heterosexual marriages, break up? Well, that's her opinion, but not mine.
That's a very good point.
And another thing is that I knew that I was different at the age 6 years old, but I didn't realize there was a name to it as lesbian until I was in high school. And this was back in the 40s. I read the book, The Well of Loneliness. It was about World War One ambulance driver. And then I said, now I know what I am. I have a name for it. And I called in when Father Mike was on the program, and I'll say the last thing is what I said then, is that God made me, and God does not make mistakes.
Go, Brownie!
All right.
Hi, Molly.
Hi, Brownie.
Sounds like you guys know each other.
We don't
know.
Oh, okay. Well, great. Well, we're happy you called the Saturday special, and particularly happy you waited as long as you did.
Mm-hmm.
We only have two more minutes in this hour, and would like to bring in on line to the preacher. Who's the preacher? Hello?
Good morning.
Hi. Are you the preacher?
Yeah, I'm the preacher.
Oh, okay.
How are you, Michael?
Good. How are you? What's your first name?
My name is actually Michael.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, Mike, that Michael. Mike,
that Marini. Michael, the Abraham Lincoln kind of guy.
Right. Great. Yeah, we only have about a minute. We'll hold you over into the next hour if you'd like, but go ahead.
Right.
Start now.
My basic premise is that according to Genesis 2:22, and then a rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. Okay, now this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she's called a woman because she was taken out of a man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. They'll become one flesh. It's God's invention.
Okay. All right.
I personally apologize for making it so simple, and I would like to make it more complex.
Okay, well, hold on. Does she want us to hold you over then? We got to tell her.
Sure, you can hold me over if you like.
It's KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville. There's a lot more on gay marriage after this
USA
news.
USA Radio Network News. I'm Kurt Lewis. Nancy Ray.
Good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen. This is AM 1080 and AM 1340, KSCO and KOMY. It's 5 minutes past 11 o'clock, and I am, of course, the world-famous, always innovative, and soon-to-be non-existent Bobby Drake here with your Central Coast weather forecast for today, Saturday, July 12th. It's going to be mostly sunny now that those clouds are clearing away. Highs from the upper 50s coast side to the mid-90s in the warmest inland areas. Later on tonight, areas of low clouds and fog going to be rolling back in along the ocean. Otherwise, should be clear in most areas, lows in the upper 40s and 50s. And your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for today, northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, and a swell west 2 to 5 feet every 8 seconds. It's currently 59 degrees here in Santa Cruz. We take you now to hour number 2 of the Saturday special with MZ.
Well, you're going to have to pull down the...
That's coming out of the news?
Yes.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Weird. I thought that was you doing the bumper music.
No, I wasn't doing that.
What is the soon-to-be non-existent stuff? Are you planning on dying or something?
I'm planning on killing Bobby Drake, yeah.
Why?
Well, because his time here is done.
Effective when?
As soon as we get this replacement in here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, no, we don't want a replacement.
Is that how this is going to work?
Yeah, that's how this is going to work. Yeah, Bobby has found a much higher paying job at another media. That's what happens with all of our good people here at KSCO. Some big station hires them away, and then we've got to start from ground zero again. And Bobby, it's not acceptable. Do your other job and just stay with us on the Saturday special. I'm just selfishness speaking here. But even if you do it, we absolutely want the best for you. But don't say soon to be non-existent. I mean, that sounds weird and wrong.
Weird and wrong, huh?
Yeah, weird and wrong. Okay, all right. So let's start hour number 2 here.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. Love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
In fact, I might as well just say it. Resignation not accepted. All right. We're welcoming you to hour number 2 here, so stay with us.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO. Bye.
And we're talking about gay marriages. Should they be permitted, legalized in California and, in fact, for the whole United States or not? We have a guest on the line, Molly McKay, who was representing a group. In fact, she's the executive director of a group called Marriage Equality for California. And this hour, we are happy to be joined by Jimmy Iacovelli, who is from the Family Policy Network against gay marriage. Jimmy, are you there?
Yep, I'm right here. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, thanks for being here. Let's bring Molly back up. Molly, are you there?
I'm back.
Good. All right. And Molly, this is Jimmy. Jimmy, this is Molly.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey. Hi, Molly.
And it's 9 minutes past 11 a.m. And before we went to the break, we were talking with the preacher who wants to finish what he was saying, and that's Mike. Mike,
right here.
You're on the air, Mike. Here, I'm right. Sorry. Here we sort of cut you off with the news here. So you were saying?
What I was saying is this whole issue of marriage is an issue of heart. There's a reason why we take special consideration for those that we marry. It's because we got more heart for them than anybody else. Okay, and marriage is what you might call probably the kindest thing that one person can do for another person. Okay, and the premise that I believe that I heard my Lord Jesus say was that there's a hardness of heart, and that people don't realize that marriage is probably a very, very sacred thing, because it's actually the joining of two people. They become one. And that was the premise that I basically wanted to make. And as a matter of fact, I find that a little bit hard to deal with myself. It's a little bit of a challenge in my life that
one. You have been a guest on the Saturday special in the past here with us at KSCO, am I right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and so for those of our those in our audience who didn't happen to hear that program, this is Reverend Mike Marina. Used to be
this isn't the Roman Catholic priest.
Oh, it's not the Roman Catholic.
I have a great deal of respect for Michael Marini.
Oh, I'm sorry. So there's another one.
Yeah.
Forgive me, because your name happens to be Mike. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't want to make the.
I'm the gentleman who makes certain that everybody gets the straight scoop. My basic premise is that religion and church and everything like that has become like the bureaucracy of government.
So wait a minute. So you were, I was, when I said you were on the Saturday special and you're the preacher, and your name is Mike.
Called in on several occasions.
You've been here at the station, and I was thinking.
No, I haven't been here. I haven't been at the station. I've called in so many times that I actually feel like I've participated in the Saturday special.
I see. Okay. So tell us about yourself. You are a pastor at some church?
Yeah. I'm a pastor of the Church of Santa Cruz.
And is that a real place where people can go and hear you preach?
No, it isn't. As a matter of fact, when I opened the book, I saw that the real gospel has a church that's out of doors. It's not an administration. It's not a bureaucracy. It's people who really, really love their brother, who actually go out and make certain that they get the straight scoop.
Okay. So, all right.
And the reason why I called you this morning is I thought that being that your station is reputable station for good quality news. The news is that when two people are joined together in marriage, they become one.
You know, what's interesting is that all three of us, you know, we all made, and there's four of us now on the call, but all four of us may disagree about a lot of different things. But you have on your line right now three people who believe strongly that marriage is an important institution. And so to some extent, you've got three marriage activists on the line. We may have differences about that, but
right.
What we all agree is that
marriage
is important. Now, the details we're probably going to get into in the next hour.
Okay. Well, Jimmy can only be with us for the second. He would have been with us from hour number one, but there was a schedule conflict, apparently. So, Jimmy, give us your, in a nutshell here, your position on this issue.
You know, I guess from our perspective, marriage traditionally has been between a man and a woman. There's been no society in the history of the world that has ever flourished changing that paradigm. Now, it comes down to who gets to define it. Who gets to define what a marriage is? And currently what we've seen is gay marriages are allowed in Canada. They've been allowed for years in Europe. And there's a new study out right now coming out about the Netherlands, because they have experimented with homosexual marriages for, I guess, over 20 years now. And what they're finding is even in monogamous homosexual relationships, there still flourishes adulterous affairs in a marriage up to 10 partners, up to 25 partners a year. So what we're seeing from our perspective, with the Texas sodomy law now being overturned, states' rights being totally invalidated by the U.S. Supreme Court, we now have a unique understanding of who gets to define marriage and who is going to be the bear weather and who is going to come through and come up with these different scenarios of what marriage is. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that it's a privacy issue. It has nothing to do with the rights of the states, but it's the right of the individual. Once you go that route, you can never look back. Because now you've opened up the door for same-sex unions and age of consent laws as low as 12 to 13 years old. People say, oh, it'll never happen. And the reason we're going down this road is because in the 1970s, we saw heterosexual marriages dissolve. We saw the rise of no-fault divorces. And for the first time in U.S. history, we saw marriage being used as simply as a vehicle for personal needs being met, not for cohesive family unity. So we've lost the right to define it as heterosexuals, so now the homosexual community is trying drastically to make their definition the de facto definition, yet it's going to be totally incongruent because it's going to take another group with their own sexual perversity to say, we want marriage between, say, you know, young boys or girls or brothers and sisters or cousins. And so who gets to define marriage, and what standard are we going to follow? And that, to me, is the bigger concern.
So you say no because of all that?
Absolutely. I think historically, and we have to look at not just a morality issue, but from a health issue.
Why wouldn't you say, excuse me for suggesting this, but why wouldn't you say yes because of all that? Because one of the first things that you said is that marriage has become something very, very different, which goes along with you weren't on the line with us, so you didn't hear what went on the first hour.
But
one of the things that Molly brought up, which I thought was very perceptive and made a lot of sense, is that a lot of definitions have changed of a lot of things. So why can't this definition of marriage change?
Because it's a health issue.
Especially in light of what you said, that it's changed anyhow.
And has it changed for the better? I mean, we've seen the rise of divorce. I have.
Right. I don't think anybody would agree that it's changed for the better. It's changed for the worse.
Right. So if change is good, just based on changes, so then.
No. I think what and jump in, Molly, if I'm saying anything wrong here, please. If the change has been for the worse, and what the proponents of gay marriage are wanting to sort of get back to the basics, except have it be between same sexes, or have it be optional, and just get back to the basics and have it apply to everybody, what's the problem with that? So that it means love and commitment again, like we've sort of gotten away from. Am I making myself clear, or is that all just a hodgepodge?
You know, I understand what you're saying, and I think, you know, Jimmy brings up the point that it's a health issue, and from my perspective, if in society gay and lesbian people are allowed to marry, and if we are allowed to legally marry, and there's legal recognition to that, the living in, you know, encouraging gay and lesbian partners to live in long-term monogamous partnerships is going to cause there to be a decrease in health problems because people are going to be in more stable units. So it kind of confuses me because I would think these are the same people that were saying that, you know, the reason why gay and lesbians are bad is because they're promiscuous and they, you know, have multiple sex partners and it's all about that. I would think they would be behind us supporting our right to marry because then that means that we're living in stable family units like everybody else. I mean, which we've been doing for a long, long period of time, but it's just invisibly and in ways without any legal protections. But I guess I'm missing where the gap is about that.
Well, the gap is because the studies have not been done. We don't have a lot of statistics in the United States on gay marriages because they're not allowed. They're done incognito. Where we have that is in the Netherlands, where they've been doing it for 20 years, showing that it's a ruse, that they're not monogamous, that the average committed, if you've been married over 10 years, they have on average, and this is a study in the Netherlands getting ready to come out, I wish I had it in front of me and I don't, but it stated that they have over 10 different sexual partners throughout the year, and if they've been together less than that, it's up to 25.
Okay, here's the thing.
So I'm not coming there and attacking homosexuals, it's the behavior, it's a behavioral issue. In 1997, Oxford University was very adamant with a study that came out from British Columbia in Canada, and it said that homosexual men that engage in sodomy, and whether you're in a monogamous sodomy relationship or whatever, that you have an 860% chance of not reaching age 65. If I didn't care about homosexuals, if I said, okay, look, I'll buy into the model that I'm just a right-wing, radical, hate-mongering gay basher, then why wouldn't I say sodomize all you want, you're going to die anyway? That's why we set up a website called hopeforhomosexuals.com where we show that there's men and women that have left the lifestyle and they've been offered forgiveness and hope through the power and through power and through commitment, through normal heterosexual relationships. And that's what we've asked for. We're not saying that if I didn't care about gays, if it was all about that, we'd say sodomize all you want, lesbians, do what you want, you're going to die anyway. Good. We're trying to change that model, especially at the Family Policy Network, and provide hope out there and say this is not a normal relationship. This is an abnormal behavior. We've just accepted it. However, historically, whether you look in the ancient world or the modern world, homosexual behavior cuts life expectancy. There is not one study out there that's going to prove that it doesn't.
Okay. Well, let's just start with correcting one factual inaccuracy.
Yeah, speak a little louder, please, if you can, Molly.
Sure. In the Netherlands, same-sex couples have only been permitted to legally marry since April 1st, 2001. So it's not 20 years that they've been permitted to marry, and I just want to point that out, number one. And number two...
No, from a legal standpoint, but they have been married. They have been incognito married for over 20 years, as the study will state. And
well,
that's
I
what's
going to
come out. You're right. Just like, I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, Molly, I'm sure you've been in relationships, and the law hasn't stopped you. The law has not stopped you one bit.
Well, it
it's
doesn't stop.
It's against the law to be in a lesbian relationship officially, but it hasn't stopped you from engaging in homosexual behavior. You've done it. So
wait,
the law is meaningless.
Okay, wait, here's the thing. Clinton.
Isn't that true?
Clinton.
I mean, wouldn't you say you've engaged in homosexual behavior against the laws of the state of California?
Well, there's no law against homosexual relationships in California, thank goodness. So let me just say that Clinton was the one that signed the Defense of Marriage Act. And I mean, if that, the irony and the hypocrisy embedded in that, I mean, a known adulterer signing the Defense of Marriage Act so that gay and lesbian people's long-term committed relationships aren't recognized, it's just really, it just points out to me the hypocrisy, because it seems to me that if you really love gay and lesbian people and you want us to be healthy and happy, that you would be supportive of our ability to enter in as full human beings into society and be able to marry our partners that we live in with long-term committed relationships. And I do not believe that it cuts life expectancy. If anything, cuts life expectancy.
Well, I know you don't believe it because you haven't read the Oxford University study that came out of 1997 with the British in British Columbia. If I direct you, if you would read that, go to the Oxford Journal online and read it for yourself. This is not something that's put out by the Catholic Church. It's not something that's put out by evangelical churches or Christians. This is put out by Oxford University. And Oxford University cited these statistics. This is something we've known for years, ever since the Mies Commission on Pornography, when these statistics came out, and everybody poo-pooed it.
And
we're not saying, Molly, that I... Molly, all we're trying to say is, if homosexuality, if it provides a vibrant lifestyle, if it provides vibrant living, then why do we have so many health issues associated with it?
Well, you know,
why do we have so many?
I don't think
hundreds.
That we do any more than anyone else. I mean,
no, it's not. That is not true. That is absolutely a lie. And you are shedding disinformation, and you are you're sending people to their grave by ignoring the statistics. Granted, the health risks for male homosexuality is greater because they're much more promiscuous, and they're much more likely to engage in sodomy, which is unbelievably health risk.
There's
going to
be a new study that's going to come out that is, they did some unpublished results in the Bay Area Reporter, and I refer you to kind of take a look at that. And what it looked at was...
Molly, how many gay men have died since the early 80s because of the AIDS virus? How many more men need to die before you wake up?
Okay.
How many?
Okay.
How many are
going to
die? You tell me, Molly, how many more are going to die before the age of 40 years old before you're going to say, well, you know what? It's all the people who are against these gay unions. We do not oppose gay marriages because we have nothing better to do. We oppose homosexual unions, sodomy, and all that that goes with it because men and women are dying.
That's not true.
You can go to San Francisco and see the AIDS quilt. It's not being knitted because a bunch of people had nothing better to do. They are mourning the loss of loved ones. And to keep blaming somebody else for your behavior
and blaming somebody else for your denial is a lie.
Wait a second.
You know, Jimmy, God, you're really on a roll. It's amazing. But for some reason...
Because I'm tired of listening to this. I can tell you right now, we have over and over and over, we have people saying, you're just being loving. Look at the graves of men that have died because somebody didn't have the guts to say, this behavior is stopping you. We have anti-smoking laws in this country that are kicking up in California. We have anti-fat laws that are going to be kicking up because of people's health risks. Yet for the last 20 years...
Anti-fat laws...
Yeah, I mean, in New York,
you mean it's going to be the death penalty if people are more than a certain weight?
There's New York City Councilmen right now trying to get laws enacted in the city of New York to keep people, to punish fast food chains because of what they do to people. Absolutely. So if it's a health risk...
But not the people themselves who allow themselves to get fat.
No, they're going to go after with the money.
I think they should go after the people themselves who allow themselves to get fat.
Well, that's a separate issue. But, you know, this issue we're passionate about.
New topic for the Saturday special.
Right. You can do that all next week, and we can all talk about the values of Burger King, McDonald's, and, you know, chili dogs.
Okay, now wait a minute here. I know you weren't on last hour, and you've been on a roll here, but poor Molly here, there's something wrong with her phone, because when she does speak, we can barely hear it. Can you just sort of holler into the mic, into the handset, Molly, because we do want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, can you hear me now?
A little better.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little better.
Great. I would just point out that, again, I mean, in some ways it sounds like Jimmy is saying that, you know, AIDS is a gay disease, which it is not, and it affects everybody, and it affects everyone worldwide. I mean, our own...
Who does it majorly affect?
Homosexuals?
homosexual men.
20 different countries.
Molly, it does not affect
heterosexual.
Yeah, just let her talk, okay? You'll have a chance.
Where, you know, heterosexual people that have AIDS. I mean, again, so I think that there's a way in which what we're talking about is whether gay or lesbian people should be permitted to marry so that their relationship, it's, you know, again, it's like if you really cared about us, it seems to me that you would be in favor of committed long-term relationships and get on board with you know, our what we're trying to do here. There's a new study that's been published, and what it pointed out, it took a look at long-term gay men that were in relationships, and it found that the men who were more likely to be in a long-term committed monogamous relationship were ones who had registered as domestic partners. And it just goes to show that, again, if the whole society comes forward and says to people, you know, the way it used to be was people would say, you know, well, I don't care what you do in your own bedroom, but when are you going to meet the right kind of girl? I mean, now you've got moms and dads calling and asking to talk to the partner and keeping people together and counseling people to stay together. So it seems to me that if you really were interested in just purely the health issue, that you would keep your mind open to the idea that if you are in a committed long-term relationship, monogamous relationship, and both of you are HIV negative and have no other STDs, you are not going to be engaging in any sort of a lifestyle that impacts your health. And that's what we're, I mean, you know, that's what marriage would do.
Oh my God, the phones are starting to ring, but we do have completely open lines at 477-1340, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call the Saturday special and weigh in on the issue of gay marriage. It's MZ, along with Molly McKay and Jimmy Iacovelli. Molly says yes to gay marriages. Jimmy says no. What do you say? Give us a call, 477-1340. It's 27 past 11. About 33 minutes remain in this edition of the KSCO Saturday Special. If you would like to hear a Saturday Special on a particular subject and have some ideas of who you think would be wonderful guests, send me an email, mz@ksco.com, or call our comment line, 429-2222. Back to the phones we go. Joe on a payphone, line one, has been waiting for a while. You're on the air, Joe. Welcome to KSCO. Hello.
Earlier, you said that we were all in favor of AB 205. No, we're not. It's for no other reason than it's going to cost the state millions of dollars.
What is AB 205 that I don't remember that we all said that we're for it? Who said that?
It's the Comprehensive Domestic Partnership Bill that's being considered in the state assembly, actually state senate.
Okay, where the word marriage is not used?
And what Joe was saying is that he was concerned that, that's right, the word marriage is not used.
Okay, we did say that we're all for it, and I said, why have the rest of this program at that point? Okay.
And Joe's concerned because he thinks it's going to cost millions of dollars, but in fact, the Economist study that came out of UCLA said that it's actually going to save the state $8 to $10 million, because not only are there rights afforded to gay and lesbian people, but there's responsibilities. And such things as qualification for welfare programs and whatnot would take into account your partner's income, so that there would be less people on the dole because their partners would be responsible for them. And it actually will end up being millions of dollars of cost savings. So there's no reason not to pass it in this, you know, horrible fiscal crisis that we're in. Oh, I
there's
think
a
lost
pregnant
Joe.
Pause. It's like, did you think that the radio show had died? Anyhow, well, whatever, yeah. So, all right, good. Joe, I hope you're pleased.
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Well, why are you displeased? Why didn't you jump in when you had a chance to talk, which I will give you again?
Because, again, she's, you know, that's one person's analysis or one group's analysis. There are other analyses that say that it will cost us millions of dollars.
What payphone are you at?
I'm in Marina.
It's a terrible sounding payphone. I mean, it's just the worst sounding payphone I've ever heard. It's almost inaudible.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
But anyway, that's all I can say.
Okay, thank you for saying it on the KSCO special. Well, so we wasted another 45 seconds. Okay, Millie says this is much ado about nothing. So let's let her... Uh-oh. Hello, are you there? Molly? Hello? Phone lines are going wild here. Let's see. Molly, are you still there?
Millie's here.
Millie's still there. Okay. All right, hold on here. Millie, are you still there? This is terrible. What's going on with this, Bobby? I mean, it's supposed to be the VIP lines where you can't accidentally drop somebody. It's just not working. All right, who's this on line three? I think that must be Live Oak Mike.
Hello, Michael. This is Live Oak Ike.
Okay, you're on the air.
Thank you. I'm going to go at this at a little different perspective because what we're talking about, obviously, is what the 1992-1996 campaigns were all about, and it's the fight for the soul of America's morality. The more you give up of absolute morality, the more danger you are in becoming a fragmented nation that doesn't have any right or wrong at all. Where does gay marriage fit in that? It doesn't fit in it at all, because gay marriage has nothing to do with the body politic. Gay marriage has to do with how people relate to each other. We had a funeral a few years ago. I was a church person in that days, and the gentleman being buried was at high mass, a gay preacher, and an eloquent eulogy was presented. They presented this thought: why should this man have been denied a loving touch? And of course, the answer is he shouldn't have been. He shouldn't have had to be cloistered. He shouldn't have had to have been terrified that he would be outed. Because that's what he did for a living. He helped people. He loved men, not women. He was unable to function fully as a human being, and that is a tragedy. Gay people are with us. They are going to require rights just like blacks required rights, just like everybody else has required rights. And they should be given those rights because they're not going to destroy our culture. They're not going to destroy our health. All they're going to do is try to live a life with a little bit of dignity. And being able to be among the body politic in a way that functions will give them that dignity. Will it decrease? Will gays become less promiscuous? Hell no. Human beings are promiscuous. We're held in check, if at all, by morals, by institutions like religion. But human beings are a mess. And we'll always be a mess.
The topic is gay marriage, yes or no. What is it, Mike?
Well, I think I've said it, Mike. It is, yes, you should have gay marriages, because anything that strengthens the ability of human beings to relate to each other in a positive way is a good thing for the body politic.
Okay, well, Jimmy, what do you say to Mike?
Well, I think Mike just doesn't read the news. I guess all the homosexual scandal in the Catholic Church is just an anomaly. I guess all the millions of men that have died by age-related deaths is an anomaly. And I guess as long as you close your eyes and you continue to believe that love equals sex, then you will continue to see more deaths. And so, you know, I come back to my original point, is that from a health perspective, what we've seen from the last 20 years, it's an epidemic. The scandal with the Catholic Church showed what happens to mentally and morally deficient men in homosexual relationships. So,
caller who didn't want to go on the air wants to know how long before gays get reparations.
Well, yeah, that's interesting.
Absolutely.
Jimmy, let me ask you something.
Sure, Mike.
Do you think the inability of you to eradicate gay sex, which is what causes AIDS, why go at it with a red herring and try to eliminate gay marriages? It is gay sex, unprotected, which causes death. It doesn't have a damn thing to do with marriage. It has to do with human behavior. Now, I can tell you this.
Excuse me, Michael?
Yeah, but you interrupted me.
Mike, I'm trying to answer your question.
Well, I haven't asked it yet. The question is this, Jimmy. How in the world are you going to stop gay men from killing each other and killing themselves until they themselves determine what is damaging, actually immoral behavior, which is having unprotected sex? It's just like telling people not to drive drunk, and people still do it. But eventually, they stop because they usually kill themselves eventually. But intelligent people stop drinking and driving when they realize it is dangerous, not because it's a DUI, but because it is poor behavior and they make bad choices. Gay men make bad choices and they die. Married, committed gay men make good choices and they live, and that's the bottom line. And with that, I'll say goodbye.
Now, wait a minute. Don't you want to hear Jimmy respond to you? I guess he doesn't. There goes Mike.
That's the whole thing, Michael, is that here's the open intolerance that comes from the gay community until you disagree with them.
Yes,
and
that's right.
And they get mad and they pack up their stuff and they throw up and they hang
out. Well, I don't think Mike is gay. I don't think he's gay.
He was either. I don't think.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, where... Molly, God, you gotta just yell into the phone because we just can't hear you at all.
Okay, I was agreeing with you that I don't think that's the last caller. Well, I mean, who knows? But okay. I'm listening to you, Jimmy. I'm not packing up, and I'm waiting to hear you out.
No, I'm not saying that, Molly. But I see over and over. You know, we get emails all the time. These hateful, vile emails from homosexuals.
I get the same from your people. Trust me.
I get vile, hateful. Just vile email.
Are you where you can put your hand on some of those? Because we want to spice up this radio show. Can you read some of them to us?
Well, I can't. A lot of it is, I hope you die. I hope you die. I hope you get AIDS and die. I mean,
Michael Savage said that. That got
us,
him.
Jimmy, because I get those same kind of call, the exact same kind. I mean, maybe they're all the same person sending them to you and to me, because we get horrible death threats, and, you know, I hope you get AIDS and die, and that same type of email comes into us as well.
I guess some people have nothing better to do.
I never advertised myself or organization to be open and tolerant of everything.
Okay, we do have open lines on the KSCO Saturday special at both 479-1080 and 477-1340. Haven't gotten many faxes. I don't know why. 475-2967. The fax line is operating. Why don't you use it? Okay, it is now 24 minutes before 12 noon. 24 minutes remain in this gay marriage yes or no edition of the KSCO Saturday special. Special guest Molly McKay of the Marriage Equality for California group and Jimmy Iacovelli from the Family Policy Network Against Gay Marriage. And we want to hear from you, 479-1080, 477-1340. Who's next? Is it Bruce, who is president of the Brookdale Fundamentalists for a Better America?
It is.
Oh, good. Hi, Bruce.
Okay, there seems to be a lot of sensitivity to the word marriage. Now, I'm responding to Preacher Mike. He quoted Genesis 2:22. Now, I would say basically he's full of it, but... if he wants to use marriage and other people want to keep the word marriage sacred, then why don't they make marriage permanent like the Bible says? You cannot get a divorce. The only exception being widows and widowers. And that would mean that anybody that ever gets a divorce can't be married again, even to somebody who's never been married. The word is, it's a sacred word. You know, so if I've had a divorce and I want to marry somebody who's never been married before, I can't marry her because I'm on the second time around. And I think marriage should be permanent. And if you take this Jim, who's
talking
about...
Well, you certainly are throwing a red herring into things.
That is not a red herring at all. Making them use the word marriage like it is in the Bible, and that's what they quote. The logical extension of Preacher Mike's thinking is that gay people shouldn't be allowed to get married. They shouldn't be allowed to live together. Why should heterosexual people be allowed to live together without the benefit of marriage?
He's absolutely right.
Now, Jim brought up a health, the health perspective, he called it. Okay, yeah. of the three main kinds of relationships, which are heterosexual, gay, and lesbian, probably in that order, gay relationships are the shortest. Heterosexuals are the next, and lesbian relationships last the longest statistically. So therefore, heterosexual relations are more likely to fail than lesbian relations. So should they be outlawed?
What study is that based on? What statistic are you quoting?
Oh, lesbians have the longest lasting relationships. It's just the nature of women. It's the nature of men to have sex 22 times in a night.
What report are you citing? Bruce, what report are you citing that says that?
I don't have it in front of me, but I'll tell you what. You look it up, you find it. I bet you won't say on the air that you found it.
Say anything you want and say, you know, but unless you have something statistically that you can
come on.
Or official, then what good is it?
Oh, well, then what good is yours?
Well, I'm studying the Oxford Journal online study that was epidemiology that was done in Vancouver in 1997. That's
and it says that gay men have more sexually transmitted diseases. What does it say about lesbians?
Yeah, the only thing I have on lesbians is the fact of their...
No. Look it up. It's online.
Well, he can't do that now,
no,
Bruce
he
and
can't.
Dale.
Michael, neither
I'm
can I.
Saying. I'm just saying you're quoting something about lesbian monogamous relationships. You're just saying it out of the blue with nothing to back it up. So I find it hard to find that credible.
And you are taking statistics for gays and applying to lesbians.
I'm only applying those to male homosexuals and sodomy. That's all I say.
Okay, then how do you feel about lesbians living together and getting married?
Well, it's not how I feel. It's what happens when those relationships go to their logical conclusion.
Which is
it destroys the functional relationship between a man and a woman.
How? Which is what?
Well, because you cannot build a society on lesbian marriages.
Why not?
Because the study that just came out in the Netherlands, which shows the promiscuity that exists even within lesbian marriage.
There is a definitive study that says that same-sex people cannot procreate, and I believe that study.
Well, you know what, Mike? That is absolutely wrong. Same-sex people can procreate today, because in this last year, they can clone.
How do they do that, Bruce?
It's cloning.
But here's the thing. We already have too many people on... I mean, I can't.
But President Bush said no to cloning. That's not going to happen.
Hold on.
They didn't say no to cloning.
Not raising you can suggest a clone. I mean, that's idiotic.
Here's important to keep in mind. There are tons and tons of unwanted and unloved children in this world. And I think that gay and lesbians are uniquely situated to be good parents for those kids. I mean, the thing, I really find it a blessing that God made me gay and that I have a wonderful relationship with my wife, Davina. And I honestly believe that we are going to find children that we are going to love and we're going to take in as our children, and that's really a special role that we can play. And I'm excited about that.
But
I mean, so the idea
to be
that we could
your own biological children, one or the other of you is going to have to submit to artificial insemination.
Well, I mean, you know, alternative insemination. But the thing is, the bottom line for me personally, and I'm, you know, certainly gay people can. Procreate is just as much as you know, infertile couples can procreate,
yeah,
which
but
is
not,
true.
But not with,
you know,
each other.
And,
but not with each other.
Right, not with each other. But there's a million heterosexuals that are in that same situation. And
you
the
know,
bottom
that,
line
I can't argue with that. And that music means that we have to wait for Dave in San Jose and Steve in Morgan
last,
Hill.
One last quick one.
And Millie, who should have been back on an hour ago, but someone sent in a fax that said muzzle Millie and ban Ben. Yeah, but anyhow, go ahead, Steve.
One last quick one.
Jimmy, rather, yeah.
Okay. How do you feel about heterosexual people living together? Should that be allowed?
Without marriage, you mean?
Yeah. Are you asking me?
Who are you asking, Bruce?
I'm asking Jim.
Well, I think the heterosexual community has destroyed the institution of marriage in a lot of ways.
Should it be allowed?
Well, I mean, you want me to make
that's
the
a yes or no question.
But I mean, you're painting into a corner. I'm trying
sure
to
I'm not.
By saying they've destroyed
your logic,
the heterosexuals.
Should it be allowed? Should heterosexuals be allowed to live together without marriage?
Should there be a law against it?
No. Should there? Listen to this, Mike.
Well, I mean,
he doesn't even know.
I do know, Bruce. Absolutely.
There should be a law against people living together, opposite sex people living, or same sex people living together without the benefit of marriage.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the logical extension of the way this guy thinks, Mike.
Well, at least he's being consistent.
Yes.
I'm being consistent, but Bruce is showing his tolerance by getting angry because I disagree with him. So there you go.
Yeah. Intolerant? I've been talking to him.
He's so open-minded and caring that anybody disagrees with
him. You know,
him.
Since Dave in San Jose and Steve in Morgan Hill are calling long distance, we should take their calls. We will thank Bruce and Brookdale. Dave in San Jose, you're on the air. You're on. Go ahead. Hello? Hello, San Jose Dave?
Yeah, hi, this is Dave.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, this Jimmy guy needs to chill and get out of people's lives.
Oh.
How am I in your life? You're trying to get into a lot of people's lives. Why don't you go people?
How am I doing that? How am I trying to get into your life right now? Tell me how I'm trying to be in your life.
Because it's between two people.
How am I getting into your life?
Someone else for a change, Jimmy. You get to listen to someone else for a change. Okay?
But how am I getting into your life?
If you love someone deeply, you want to honor that person and you want to spend your life with them, I don't care what your statistics are all about.
You don't care how many gay men die. It's pointless to you how many men die because you don't care. You're so narcissistic and you're so much into your own self-love that as long as your needs are getting met, damned everybody else. And that's absolutely.
Hey, Jimmy,
you
I'm
don't
hetero.
Even care.
I'm hetero, okay? It's about two people.
So you'd have no problem with your cousins
about
getting married.
Gay people, dude.
You'd have
it's
no
your
problem.
Problem.
Right, but now you'd have no problem with two cousins getting married, brothers and sisters getting married.
Hey, if they get married, they will be more committed, and there will always be promiscuity out there, hetero or whatever. It will always be there, but there will be people who want to be committed to each other, and they will follow through, and they'll have the most beautiful relationship. I see plenty of hetero relationships
that
are a joke.
It's ripped apart by immorality.
So go feed some kids. Go feed some kids and get out of people's lives. Okay. Find
you
a new.
Kids. I do more. I bet you. I bet you right now that you could care less what happened to other people because you don't have to deal with the fallout. That's how we set up a website, hopeforhomosexuals.com.
You're paranoid.
I don't know. I don't even know who's talking. I don't even know who's talking. Do you? Who was just called paranoid?
Jimmy is paranoid. He's worried about other people's behaviors, and I think he needs to see a
I'm concerned
therapist.
For people's health. That makes me paranoid.
Jimmy, have you considered seeing a therapist, Jimmy?
Well, I think if Dave keeps going on, I'm going to have to probably see Dave's therapist, right?
Okay. Well, we want to thank you both for engaging in this, and we do have another long-distance call, Steve and Morgan Hill. Steve, you're on the air on the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and Jimmy and Molly.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to kind of chime in there. I haven't caught the whole show, so I hope I'm not repeating some other things or being redundant.
If you do, we'll just hang up.
Oh. Anyway, I want to put a vote in to be against gay marriage. And I want to specifically use the word marriage. I'm coming from a Christian background where I think marriage was instituted by God. But I don't want to get bogged down right now with that. I think marriage has always traditionally, and especially from our Christian heritage, meant the legal contract between a single man and a single woman. I think if we allow gay marriage, and I'm using the word marriage specifically, if we allow gay marriage to be on the same, and the word marriage on the same par as Orthodox heterosexual marriage, I think what it does is it opens a slippery slope that pretty soon all the definitions of the word marriage are broken down. Not only being if gay marriage is allowed, so that is between either two women or two men, but then why limit it? I can see it going down the road of limiting it. Why limit it to two people? Why not have two men and a woman, or possibly underage children, or even animals involved in the quote-unquote word marriage? I think marriage has traditionally and historically always meant the relationship between one man and one woman. If homosexuality or other issues want to come into that, I think you're going to have to call it something but marriage, but I don't think you can call it marriage. And
I think to some extent it's kind of like the sanatorium argument that was just made, which is where we're really linking...
Louder, please.
Falsely linking unrelated topics together. I mean, every time a law changes, our country has to take a look at whether it's appropriate through the proper checks and balances. And we're not talking... The only issue we're discussing today is whether government's discriminatory ban prohibiting same-sex couples from marrying is wrong or not. And, I mean, anything beyond that is going to be a whole other debate that's going to take a whole... That's not at the table.
No,
I
agree with you on that. Do you think, though... But seriously now, if we broaden the definition of marriage, I mean legal marriage that we have in the United States, to include homosexual couples, are you saying that that's all it will ever include, or can it include three people, or five people, or first cousins, or brothers and sisters, or a mother marrying a son? Where does it end? A word has got to mean something, or a word is meaningless.
Right, but they
used that to is what I'm trying to say.
That prohibiting people from the same races marrying each other was going to fundamentally change the definition of marriage, and it hasn't. We've got people in Canada and people in the Netherlands that are married, and it's not changing anybody else's heterosexual marriage. It's just letting gay and lesbian people that are already having in long-term relationships, that are already having kids, it provides them tangible mutual benefits.
Why call that a marriage when it never has been called a marriage?
Because it is a marriage.
I mean, legally, it has never been called a marriage.
But these things change over time, and there's no reason not to call it a marriage.
What if 50 years from now we want to say that mothers can marry sons? Should that be allowed?
But again, that's like false linking things together.
When you open the door to one broadening of a term, marriage has always traditionally and from our heritage meant a relationship between one man and one woman.
Well, it used to mean white man and white woman or black.
Well, can you show
black,
me?
Hey, Morgan Hill, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Guess what's going to happen if we don't take a break now?
We're
going to have to go out of business, and there will be no more KSCO to kick around anymore.
Okay, well, my point is the word marriage, as always, traditionally, historically, and in the Orthodox Christian sense, meant relationship being one man, one woman.
Okay, you have made that point, and thank you for calling all the way from Morgan Hill and waiting
You're
so
welcome.
Long. Appreciate it.
Okay,
Stephen
thank
Morgan
you.
Hill. A break, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I did this again. Are you there? Molly there? Is Molly still there?
I am.
I've
gotten hung up on a couple of things.
Yeah. Our equipment is not working the way it should. I'm sorry. I press off, and when you're on a special VIP line, it's supposed to not drop you. And you are on a VIP line.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. But I'm sorry you've been dropped. Bobby, just play the damn commercials. I mean the good commercials. You know what I'm trying to say.
Imagine a beautiful green lawn without mowing, watering, or weeding. Well, imagine no more. Hello, I'm Ray Tate from the Waterless Lawn Company in Santa Cruz, your Astro Lawn dealer for the Central Coast. Astro Lawn from the Waterless Lawn Company will give you 15 to 20 trouble-free years of green lawn for your home or business. You'll save money, time, and your property will look great. I guarantee it.
The first 15 callers receive $500 off installations of 600 square feet. Call 866-987-5377. 866-987-5377. Homeowners, there's a quick and sensible solution to problems like delinquent payments, foreclosure, bankruptcy, job loss, or relocation. Sensible Home Solutions will help by taking over your payments and paying you cash for the full market value of your home. Solve your housing problem today with a fast, considerate, and sensitive solution from Sensible Home Solutions. Call 800-793-6332. Remember, Sensible Home Solutions buys houses for cash. Call 1-800-793-6332.
Windows are a way to see and a way to be seen. Hello, I'm Guy Mitchell from Lighthouse Windows in Santa Cruz. Lighthouse Windows installs doors and windows in homes and in new construction. We make a big difference in how you see and how you are seen. Listen.
My name is Alice Nicolaiason, and we're residents of Santa Cruz County. Took him one day to put the windows in. You'd never even know they were here. Clean, inside, outside. All the old windows removed, all the old screens. It keeps the sound out. When the windows and the doors are shut, you don't get the outside noise. And the street that we live on, you get a lot of traffic, and we don't notice it as much. Oh, I love it. And another thing, when he put them in, we had 14 windows and a sliding glass door that was done in one day.
New windows and doors from Lighthouse Windows will keep your home warmer in the winter, cooler in the summer, and quieter all the time. So when it comes time for you to improve the way you see and the way you are seen, call on the window and door specialists at Lighthouse Windows in Santa Cruz, 426-2601. 426-2601.
Buying a house should be one of the happiest times of your life, but the time and paperwork can make the process a major source of stress, not to mention worrying about whether you got a good deal on your loan. Baton Mortgage Services has prepared a study of what a borrower needs to know to ensure a fair deal on their loan and are presenting a free one-hour intensive consumer seminar explaining the material. In 1 hour, you'll learn how to ensure a smooth closing, select a competent loan officer, and independently verify whether you're getting a fair deal. We give you the take-home reference materials to ensure that you you retain and can use all of the information from this course on loan officer self-defense. Attendees will receive a hard copy version of the presentation, including the tools, methods, and guidelines taught, along with examples and supplemental information. Attend this free course at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, July 15th at Cabrillo College. You must RSVP to ensure your space and class materials. To RSVP, go to www.homeloanwindow.com. That's www.homeloanwindow.com or call 866-515-4421. That's 866-515-4421.
Mortgage rates have fallen so far and so fast that you can save big money even if you've refinanced within the past 6 months. I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland, and it's true. Mortgage interest rates have fallen so far and so fast in the past few months that you can save tens of thousands even if you've already refinanced. And here's the kicker. Pacific Inland will refinance you at no cost. Don't miss out on this historic opportunity to save money. Some restrictions may apply, so call Pacific Inland at 475-2600. Pacific Inland, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
Reach out, touch faith.
Okay, we are in the home stretch of the KSCO Saturday special on the subject of gay marriages. Here's a fact from Landon in Soquel. Can anyone say incrementalism overturn the Texas sodomy laws, greater gay and lesbian rights under AP 205, recognition of same-sex marriages? What's next under the incremental trends is man and boy permitted sex, bestiality. What's the world coming to? Thank you, Landon and Soquel. Here's something from Hartman. Dear Michael, I have a real disdain for the term gay marriage. It's my feeling that political correctness and the leftist socialist mentality are once again at work to demoralize and destabilize America. Do I think gay or lesbian couples should have the same rights as heterosexual married couples in areas of rights and wills and property? Absolutely. I think any person should be able to direct their own wishes. However, marriage is a religious term, precisely defined as marriage between a man and a woman, and then adopted in the same term by governments. If, in fact, the left wants church and state to remain separate, then stay away from church terminology. Ooh, interesting point there, Stevie. Let's see. Therefore, I have no problem with gay unions or contracts or other legally committed relationships being promoted as a way to give bona fide rights to these couples, but I will never approve of the term marriage. So, you might ask your pro-gay marriage person if gays more interested in same-sex couples gaining the same rights as heterosexual couples, or is she, are they more interested in stamping their self-righteousness on the term marriage? That's from Hartman. Also, he says, P.S., AIDS may not now be the sole domain of the gay community, but your guest cannot deny that the gay community is where it started and flourished to become the deadly terror it has become in this country. Stevie, you read a lot more than I do, but I think it started in Africa, and I don't think it had anything to do with homosexuality, but I could be wrong there. Let's bring Molly back on. You're on the air, Molly. What do you think of those faxes?
You know what, actually, that's what's really important, and I can see where people are getting confused, because civil marriage is a state contract, and there's also a word that we use the same word for called religious marriage, and they're really two totally separate things. I mean, the real separation between churches in state would say that gay and lesbian people should have the same rights under state law, which means civil marriage. Now, that does not mean that every religion has to perform marriages for same-sex couples. That's not what it says. I mean, everybody has the freedom of their religion, and they can choose to be in a religion that does not support and does not marry same-sex couples. They have the right to do that because of the Constitution, really. But what happens now is that there's a discrimination against religion by not permitting gay couples to be civilly married, because there's a lot of churches, Christian churches and Reform Judaism synagogues, that are performing same-sex marriages today that aren't being recognized by the state. So
it's not going
to
be fair
to make the distinction.
It's not going
to
be fair to Millie if we don't hear from her today, because she's waited a long time. Millie, you're on
okay,
the air finally.
Yeah. I want to tell the Morgan Hill caller to get a clue. Marriages have been traditionally, historically polygamous, not monogamous. He ought to know something about history, but apparently he doesn't. And I have a question where I want a one-sentence answer from Jimmy because I have something else to say. Are you a Bible literalist? Hello?
Yeah.
Where did Mrs. Cain come from? Well, actually, he can say that off the air. You know, that's a, you know, talk about incest.
Well, he's
where
on
Mrs.
right now.
Cain
go ahead, Jimmy, real quick.
Okay, no, I don't want to hear that now, okay? I got to get on because I'm going to be off. But the real sham is now up to 65% of all bona fide marriages fail in the U.S. The family values bunch are as guilty of failure as any, and they contribute to the epidemic of pedophilia also. And so, yes, there are out there, Faxer, Dumbo, Faxer, there are heterosexual pedophiles. So now I can take Jimmy's comment if he's still there.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
I just thought what Molly said is that she loads up, and of course she doesn't respect differing opinions because she called the guy from the other place a Dumbo. So because she's insulting in that way, I mean, why even dignify her question with a response?
Oh, he didn't insult me by saying I should be muzzled in his facts. Okay. Well, that's how
your
mind operates.
Oh, no, that was somebody else. That was
somebody else.
Excuse me, Millie. That was somebody from last week, and it just chuckled
Millie, as long as you engage in that kind of hateful rhetoric, I mean, I'm not going to dignify your questions with a response.
Okay, so there goes Millie. And now, I guess we are technically at the end of our program. In fact, we've already spilled over into the news, and this is not a very professional radio station that we could do that so easily. But we do have three other callers. We have... Well, let's see. We have Dion, and we have Mark. Well, okay, Dion, can you do it in 10 seconds?
Okay.
Okay, go.
Hello?
Yeah, go.
I'm on the air?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's lots of different issues involved, but I think that generally we need to have equal protection under the law, and the government should not involve itself in our lives. If people want to carry guns, if they want to smoke pot, if they want to sodomize, I think they should be allowed to do it, and they should be allowed to do it at all at the same time. If they want to.
As long as they stay away from my sausage. Now, here is line two. That's Mark in Santa Cruz.
And the question of gay marriage, no, hell no, okay? Keep it in the bedroom. You can go get married. You don't need a license. Just keep it in the bedroom. Quit promoting your BS agenda. I don't approve of it. That's from a young boy that was 10 years old and was assaulted by someone of that type of character. I don't approve of it. It's a downfall of society. Keep it in your bedroom, keep it to yourselves, and everything will be just fine. Quit trying to promote your sick agenda.
Okay, and here is Ben and Salinas, our last caller. Go ahead, Ben.
And in closing, I'll say this. If we're going to ban anything off the air, let's ban ignorance, because those that choose to ignore the truth, ban the ignorance where they avoid the truth. To one of your guests, I say this. We live and we die. Some people choose to live a risky lifestyle. Let's just say that gay marriages, those are the race car drivers of life. And to your lady, I'd like to say this. If you're saying, it sounds to me like you're saying the marriage is sacred and stay married, okay. Is she saying to all the listening women of KSCO audience that they should emulate and be like Hillary Clinton, who stands by her man for better or for worse? I think that's a wonderful concept, but all women should be like Hillary? I don't know.
Who said that? I didn't hear anybody
say
that.
Well, I mean, she's saying that the women should stay sanctity of the marriage. Well, Hillary Clinton
stood
by her man.
You're the one who's bringing up Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, exactly, because she stood by her man in spite of all of the BS of the right-wing fascist women
stick
with it. Gabby Wynette sang Stand By Your Man, and she was married 7 times, so what does
okay.
that mean?
Okay, hey, listen, Jimmy and Molly, you've both been fabulous guests. Thanks for joining us on the KSCO Saturday special on this topic. We've got to do it again. I wish we would have solved something, but something tells me we didn't. Anyhow, this program will be rebroadcast this evening between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight right here on KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville. And after the That's All, folks, we're going to join USA News in Progress.
That's all, folks.